Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You can't cramp Sliwa. Sliwa doesn't work with a partner. Come on, man.
Nope. It is a quarantine Thursday. How are you guys? I actually slept a lot, John. I slept a lot today.
Good.
I woke up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Then I did my Spanish class, and then I meditated, fell asleep during meditation, and woke up about 1:15. I love a good sleep, man.
God,
I love a good sleep.
I haven't slept till 1:15 since I was in college.
Oh, God, it's so good. Had terrible dreams. I guess a lot of people are having nightmares right now in their sleep because of what's going on. I had a zombie nightmares, lady coming at me with a pair of scissors.
Who was the lady? Was it Amanda?
No, it was this lady who was actually an actress, a friend of mine, who was in Little Devil, who played...
I remember that movie.
She played my wife in Little Devil. She's the one that came at me with the scissors. But I turned them around on her. Yeah, stuff you talk about during a quarantine.
Yeah,
hey, we got a really good show today, yeah.
Yeah, this is actually, I would listen to this show even if we weren't doing it.
Yeah.
Tom Penn, our buddy Tom Penn, who runs the LAFC, is coming on in soon, like 3:15, in like 15 minutes. And Rob Pelinka, the Laker GM, is going to join us today. On top of that, Ron Shelton, the king of sports movies.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote and directed Bull Durham, wrote and directed Tin Cup, wrote and directed White Men Can't Jump, wrote Hoop Dreams. I mean, Ron's done more sports movies, more good sports movies than anybody.
Yeah.
He's going to join us. And this all happens before 5 o'clock, like within the next 2 hours.
It's happening fast, people.
Fast track.
And by the way, I want to say this. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. The amazing thing about being on the air during this quarantine period is the way everybody at the station has rallied. And I mean, everybody has rallied. We mentioned yesterday Adam Bronstein, who was there and cutting up LeBron sound as it came down. Michael Funches, who yesterday had to run to a different studio in order to get us on the air, who's on the board every day, has done an amazing job. Lindsay, who's been booking her butt off, has Today's Show, Rob Pelinka and Ron Shelton. She had Larry King on for us a couple weeks ago. She's got next week John Hamm, who is like one of our dream guests, is coming on Monday. And Pee Wee Herman or Paul Rubens is coming on next week. Just interesting. We're at that point where we're doing just trying to give you interesting stuff every day. And the team that is working on this is doing a phenomenal job. Ireland and I are just sitting here talking, but the people behind us are doing an incredible job.
Yeah. And I thought there'd be, and I'm guessing you did too, way more technical difficulties than we've had. You know, we've hardly had any. You stepped on your power cord once.
Yeah, I did.
Knocked yourself off the air for 20 minutes.
That was a disaster, yeah.
But other than that, and then yesterday right before the show, Funches had to change studio. Funch, are you back in the big studio now?
Yes, I am. I'm happy to be here.
All right, so what happened as far as we know?
Basically, our program that plays our commercials and has our sound, it crashed like 20 minutes before showtime. And if I can't get that going, then I can't play spots. You guys can't take a break.
And look, can you imagine how rough that would be? 3 hours of just us rambling without any sound, without any guests.
We can do it. Mason and I once, hey, Lindsay, did you know this? Mason and I once did 24 straight hours of radio.
I believe it.
The Angels, we were the Angels station back then, and they had a huge series coming up against the Oakland A's. And we needed to hype up the Angels and get people fired up. So we went on at 3 o'clock on a Thursday. And, Mace, I actually think we did more than 24 hours. Didn't we go off at 6 o'clock on
Friday? Yeah, we went off at 6 o'clock. So we did 26 hours straight our Angels pregame show. We did it from Angels Stadium. It was amazing the number of people that came out and were watching the show. And also, we had a different person guest host with us every hour, just a different listener every hour come on and do the show with us. And they were all fantastic. It just proves that what we do, anybody can do.
And, boy, remember, people were bringing us stuff in the middle of the night.
Bringing us food.
Donuts and coffee. We were playing wiffle ball.
Yeah.
Our buddy Brooks Melchior at the time brought a bunch of Sports by Brooks girls by to cheer us up.
What is Brooks Melchior doing now?
He's back in town.
Is he? Is he on Twitter?
Yeah.
He is. He's back on Twitter. He's doing fine. He took like a five-year hiatus, but he's good. I talked to him a little while ago. He's doing good.
It was like a Dave Chappelle-like disappearance.
Yeah, but
he was gigantic, and then he was gone.
Yeah, much like Dave Chappelle, he's back in the game.
He's back, exactly.
I remember when he came back, like how excited I was, because I was like, man, I haven't heard from this guy in forever. This is
great.
Well,
Lindsay,
we used
to work with him. He used to do, at the old Fox Sports Radio Network where Mason and I worked briefly, Brooks worked with us, and we used to bring him in to pinch hit when one of us would go on vacation. And he was great.
Yeah, he was great.
I don't know if he still wants to be in. I know he's bringing back sportsbybrooks.com. I don't know if he has already, but he wants to. And then, but I don't know if he wants to get back into like regular media. I can't remember what he told me.
It might be good to have him on. I feel like he would be a good guest.
Oh, he would be a good guest. Yeah, he'd be somebody to talk. We're just looking for interesting people. Like I mentioned today, we haven't had Jim Lampley on. Lampley's a great guy. He'd be fascinating on all this stuff. He's basically covered every sport in history.
So this is interesting. Last night, ABC brought Who Wants to Be a Millionaire back.
Yes.
Okay. But there's a twist this time.
It's so much better.
There's no studio audience.
Okay.
So Jimmy Kimmel is hosting. And like last night, for example, it was the first night of it. So it was Eric Stone Street from Modern Family.
Right.
Who did really well. And then following him was Danny Zucker. I'm getting ahead of myself. Will Forte followed him. But the twist is that you're allowed to bring somebody to help you, like a full-time friend that sits behind you. And for the first 10 questions, you can just turn around and ask, like,
what
Stone Street brought this guy, Danny Zucker, who was a writer on Modern Family that had written all of his best material over the years. And so Danny and Eric navigated all 10 of the first questions. And he ended up making, like, $125,000 for his charity before he tapped out. And Will Forte brought his dad, who knew a lot. Now, if I was going on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I swear to God, the person I would bring would be you. And I said to Lisa, I told her, she goes, who would you bring? And I said, I would bring Mason, because he has a lot of, like, I have a lot of good general knowledge about stuff, but Mason has a good trivia mind. Like, we're good in trivia-type situations. But she said, who would he bring? Would he bring you? I said, no, he would bring Jim Lampley.
Jim Lampley is the smartest person, with all due respect, John, the smartest person I have ever worked with. In my experience, Lampley knows everything about everything.
But here's the thing. I don't know. We'll ask him if we get him on in the next couple of weeks. I don't know if he would excel in what is basically Trivial Pursuit, because so many of the questions are pop culture.
Right, and Lampley knows history.
Correct. So history comes up, but you'd have to have, like, Funch, I thought I might make you my phone-a-friend. My phone-a-friend would either be you or LZ. Because I'd need somebody with a little bit of culture in areas that I don't have. Like, for example, rap and hip-hop and stuff like that. I'd need somebody who could cover that area of the trivia world. There was a question last night about rap that I didn't know, but Stone Street figured out.
Do you remember what it was?
No, it was, the answer was Billy Ray Cyrus. It was some. There was a rapper or a hip hop artist who had a hit song.
Little Nas X.
Old Town Road.
Old Town Road.
Right.
I would have gotten that one.
On Old Town Road, who helps Little Nas X?
Yeah, that was the number one song of last year by a lot.
Yeah, so I would have needed Funch if you were my phone-a-friend. So, by the way, the other lifeline's me. So if I'm in the chair,
yep.
if I'm the contestant, I would have you behind me. I could turn to you for any of the first 10 questions for help. And then after that, you go away unless I'm willing to give up one of my lifelines, and then I can keep you for one question. The lifelines are 50-50, phone-a-friend. And because there's no studio audience because of COVID-19, they have asked the host. So if Jimmy Kimmel knows it, you can ask him, and he's allowed to tell you. But he doesn't know the questions in advance.
You know what we should do is have none of us on the honor system watch neither of us, John, watch the show.
Well,
one night.
They have an app. So we could pull questions off the app. We could still watch the show if we wanted to.
Yeah, we could totally do, like, you know, sound effects and everything. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah, we should do that next week. That'd be fun.
And so I think it's gonna air every Wednesday night. Now, the reason they debuted it last night was because it was the end. It was the 11-year end of Modern Family, which Mace,
right,
was a show you really never got into, right?
You know, the very first year, I thought it was progressive and cool and funny, and then it became a show for squares. I just thought, I thought the show was really, I thought it got bland after a while.
I couldn't disagree with you more. I think that show did more to help assimilate what everybody is going through now. And the reason I was surprised you didn't like it is a major central part of it was that Stone Street and Jesse Tyler Ferguson. So the patriarch of that family was Ed O'Neill, guy who played Al Bundy on Married with Children. But Ed O'Neill was this traditional guy who belonged to a golf club, who had all these old friends, who had a midlife crisis and married Sofia Vergara, like married the hot wife 20 years younger than him, and took in her and her Colombian son. And he had two kids, Julie Bowen and Jesse Tyler Ferguson. And for Ed O'Neill, what was a hard thing for him to deal with was Jesse Tyler Ferguson was gay.
Yeah.
And it was a traditional, like, golf club family guy who had been used to this straight arrow life. Now, all of a sudden, with a Colombian son, a hot younger wife, and a gay son, and how he dealt with all that. And it was, I thought it was fascinating because they didn't skip anything. He didn't like Julie Bowen's husband, and how that husband won him over after a while, and I just thought they nailed it, and for 11 years I thought that they had a pretty, that's hard to keep a sitcom on for 11 years.
Sure, it is.
They did a pretty good job.
This is, I came across this article yesterday about Modern Family. When it premiered in 2009, it was progressive and clever. Family sitcoms, once TV's comedy's primary sustenance, have been replaced by shows about friends. In the 2010s, Modern Family became the rare series to generate colossal ratings and critical applause. But it lost viewership to shows like 30 Rock, Enlightened, Parks and Rec, Nurse Jackie, Louie, and it never changed with the times. I felt that was sort of, like, after the novelty, like, I thought the pilot for Modern Family was friggin' brilliant. The pilot, which ends with the Lion King holding up the baby. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was great.
Was brilliant. And that first season. But then it was just like, okay, there's a couple gay guys in it.
Well, that and the hot younger wife I thought was very L.A. You know, the fact that Julie Bowen and her family with her kids. I'm trying to remember the name of the actor who played Phil Dunphy, Julie's husband, Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell's a great actor.
And Ty Burrell had a really tough needle to thread because he was a good dad who cared about his family, but he was kind of a nerd.
Yeah.
And so Ed O'Neill never thought he was good enough for his daughter.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I have nothing against the show. It just wasn't necessarily for me. I thought
Lindsay.
There became edgier stuff.
Lindsay, breaking news. You want to drop it?
Yeah, we got a breaking news sounder, Funch.
Yeah, now, Mace, I don't know if you saw Lindsay's text.
I did not.
It just came down. What do you got?
So, Netflix has announced a new Tiger King episode hosted by Joel McHale.
Oh.
Premiere on Sunday.
This Sunday?
Joel McHale is one of the
funniest from now,
people.
You get new Tiger King. 3 days.
Yeah. Joel McHale, to me, that was peak talk soup was Joel McHale.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
He was the best. Oh, he'll be fantastic. Now, John, you'll have to watch because it's Joel McHale.
No,
oh,
I cannot spend another minute on Tiger King. I'm out.
Because that's definitely what we're talking about on Monday. Monday, we're talking about it.
I was going to say you have to watch it. It's show prep.
Yeah, it's show prep.
Yeah, maybe that's how I get away with it.
It's show prep. It'll be fun with Joel McHale doing it. That'll be awesome.
All right, so that's coming up Sunday. And coming up next, Tom Penn, who runs LAFC. Tom was in the NBA for years and years and years. So we can pick Tom's brain about when we might see the LAFC back and what he thinks the NBA is going to do if they're going to save the season. That's coming up.
Cool. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. Oh, that's so exciting about the Tiger King finale show with Joel McHale on Sunday night. By the way, if you want some Tiger King inside stuff, my podcast is out now with James Gerritsen, who's the guy who turned Fed's evidence and actually put Joe Gerritsen away. Search Culture Pop on iTunes or on Spotify.
All right, so joining us right now is Tom Penn. We've known Tom for a long time. He spent
a lot of
years in the NBA, worked in the Memphis Grizzly organization, the Portland Trailblazers organization. Then he went to work for ESPN and was one of us. He was an NBA analyst. And a few years ago, he took the top job at LAFC. And if you were to write a book on how to successfully launch an expansion franchise, you would do it how the guys at LAFC did it. Everything from the ownership group they built, the way they educated their fans and got their fans on board, and to a perfect inaugural season. And now the LAFC is one of the model franchises in LA. And Tom, nice enough to join us now. Tom, how you holding up?
Oh, man, I'm good after listening to you introduce me. That's
a hell of an introduction. Yeah, well deserved, Tom.
Next time you have a speech, Tom, just bring me in to do the intro, and I'll have the room on their feet before you ever talk.
You know, I've been home, and nobody talks to me that way around here, so, you know, it's just refreshing.
You don't get that kind of intro at home, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, there's a bunch of stuff we want to ask you about, but I was thinking about, and tell me if I'm right, that the fan, you know, all these teams are in leagues are talking about coming back and coming back without fans. And we understand why, because it's important to keep the gathering numbers down, to listen to the medical experts. But in your world, for soccer, and particularly with the LAFC, the fans are so much a part of what you've built. I mean, they kind of like lifted your team and put them on a surfboard. That would be harder on your franchise and your sport than it would on other sports to play without fans, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a little different story for us for a couple reasons. First, we're at the beginning of our season. So, you know, this urgency with the NBA, for example, to try to finish the season and do some playoffs, that theoretically could happen in an empty gym easier, you know, and plus they're at the end of the year, so they need a more urgent result. You know, our season runs through November. In past years, it's gone into December, so we could easily extend the calendar. And then if you know, we only play once a week typically, so we could probably play some midweek games and make up a difference here and there and just tweak things to still get a full season in. So the notion of playing in an empty stadium isn't as urgent for us at this point. And then you're right. So much of the fabric of football, when properly performed, has to do with the performance of the audience as well. There's such active participants and it's such a festive atmosphere. You know, our group sings the entire match and it's just taken the city by storm. So the likelihood of doing that in an empty building is just sad. You know, if we got to that, I'd want to at least have the 32-52 in there evenly dispersed throughout the building. let them
sure.
still sing.
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. Yeah.
You know, but it's so unknown right now. It's actually upsetting to see so many folks just speculating and giving their opinion on what's going to happen 2 and 4 and 6 and 8 months from now, because it's just too early. There's too much information we still need to hear, and we still have a little bit of time in order to get our full season in.
So talk a little bit about, I had the great privilege of being the Falconer at a game, not last year, but 2 years ago, for LGBTQ night. And it was honestly, I was just telling Lindsay before the show, it was honestly one of the great highlights of my whole career. I was buzzed for a week after that. I was so excited.
You were a great honorary Falconer, as I recall.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I think it's fascinating how quickly you were able to develop this, because when I heard, okay, there's going to be a new MLS team, and I knew where the stadium was going to be, it is such a great LA sports experience now to go to that beautiful stadium. And by the way, I saw, it's great for music too. I saw Mumford and Sons there. They were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
But the incredible experience it is to go, the 3252, the picturesque scene. Was that in your head? Was that entire vision in your head? How much of it was just Tom Penn's genius that made that happen?
Oh, all of it. I did it myself. the beauty of the building was the masterpiece of a lot of folks. Really, I got to give Peter Guber a ton of credit. You know, he's a co-owner of the Dodgers and the Golden State Warriors, and they built Chase Center, the remodel in Dodger Stadium. You know, he's just, his magic is sprinkled through the building. And then there was a collective design process that we went through where we had all this time to do it right, and we had great vision for embracing the city and representing the city and just trying to do something that would appeal to everybody. So that was always the idea. For the atmosphere that's there with the 3252, my experience started in Portland, where I went to a Timbers game shortly after I left the Blazers. And I took my kids, and I've told this story, but I just refer to myself as the enlightened American soccer fan. So many people who now come to our matches have this same experience. They walk in, and then they're captivated by the show in one of the end zones. And that's what I got in Portland with the Timbers Army. I took my two kids. We walk in, and my jaw was on the floor. I just couldn't believe that everybody was over there singing the entire match, and it just overwhelms you with enthusiasm. It feels so good, and I'm like, holy cow. And my kids look up at me. They're like, Daddy, this is awesome. And I'm like, this is awesome. I didn't know this was possible. So that was my experience, and I always dreamt of bringing that to L.A., and the big question was, okay, yeah, this works in Portland. Portland's weird. It's kitschy. It's grungy. You know, it's all that. It's kind of homogenous. How could we possibly pull that off in this diverse place? And what we found was everybody had such an appetite for this, and people were looking for a place to belong. I've heard multiple people say that. They're like, you know what? I've lived in L.A. for I don't know how long, and I just never felt like I belonged. And that's how I feel at LAFC. I feel like it's Los Angeles, and I'm a part of it. And that really warms my heart.
Tom, and we're talking to Tom Penn. When you guys did this, I mentioned at the top of the interview that if you were going to write a book on how to do an expansion franchise, you guys did almost everything right. Is there anything that surprised you? Is there anything was there any obstacles that popped up along the way that you didn't see coming?
Well, we made it through a lot of the big obstacles I was most worried about. First was the acquisition of the land, and then the successful building of a stadium. Those things are just impossible to do usually.
Right.
New York City's been trying to do it forever in soccer, and Miami's really struggling. And so that went surprisingly well. You know, we never really had a major hurdle. We didn't have any public disputes, and we were able to execute that thing on budget and actually early, which was amazing. The part that surprised me a little bit was I couldn't envision the feeling that came with it all. I could envision the building. It ended up looking the way we designed it. And I could envision even the team in a way, because that was sort of designed and put together, and you knew what kind of talent we had. What I couldn't ever really truly envision was the feeling that I would have once the building was open. And the unmistakable feeling was one of joy. It's just like walking around, I was like, this feels weird. Everybody's so like, it wasn't happy. It wasn't, you know, loud, enthusiastic. It was just joyous. And so we sort of changed our corporate mission to, you know, we defined it as we bring joy to people. That's really our purpose. And it's, God, do we need it now, right?
Yeah, for sure.
This way, and sports does that when properly executed. But there's something about, I'm telling you, if you come to a preseason LAFC exhibition game, it feels like shockingly joyous. And if you've never been to a match before, you'd call it one of the best experiences you've ever had.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it was, yep. And I mean that literally. We do.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it really is. It became for me almost immediately just a quintessential L.A. sports experience. And I went to the playoff games last year. Fortunately, I was there for the Seattle game. Which eliminated the LAFC. But I mean, it's a magically cool LA sports experience. It really is, from beginning to end. I could not recommend it more strongly.
Yeah. So that, for me, that was a surprise, was the way what it felt like. And then, you know, it's just been a hoot, right? So
yeah.
Hey, man, Tom. If you were back in the NBA, what would I can't even remember. We're having Rob Pelinka on today at 4 o'clock. But you worked in a lot of different positions in the NBA and with a lot of different teams. And maybe you've talked to some guys in the NBA. Where would your focus be? Like, how do you even begin to solve this puzzle if you're in the NBA right now?
Well, in what role? You mean the macro puzzle for the league and how to?
Yeah, the macro puzzle. The macro puzzle.
So I haven't been in that role, but it's a little different for the NBA. For one reason, I talked about the calendar and how they just need to finish it off, so to speak.
Right.
The second is that they get so much revenue from media and television deals that for them playing in an empty room or a room that's engineered to feel like it has energy, it doesn't necessarily need, it could be just a studio, right? This could be a made for TV production. I would be exploring a made for TV production that simulates energy in there from a crowd noise standpoint, and, you know, just something that, so it's not just sneakers squeaking on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then create it such that it's just, if they were going to come back before we're allowed to have fans, right?
Yep.
I'd explore that aspect of things. And then, you know, the thing we're unsure of on the other side of this is how terrified is everybody going to be going forward if, God forbid, a player or a member of the staff tests positive? Is that going to be a signal that we need to forever shut everything down for 2 weeks and quarantine everyone? Or are we going to get on the other side of this where it's more acceptable and predictable that some people are going to get this? Many, particularly all the young folks, almost all the young folks are going to be just fine. And then those in the danger zone maybe really struggle with it, and they, you know, but there may be no way around that as it works its way through society. I just don't know. So, the whole notion right now is how to keep all the players completely safe, and this notion that, but I think at some point on the other side of all this, there's some societal acceptance of some permissible amount of spreading of this, like every other major virus going around.
Yeah. Tom, I'll throw something out at you. The Seton Hall University Stillman School of Business released a poll today, and just came across it. And it says out of 7,762 respondents, 72% say they wouldn't feel safe going to a live sporting event until there is a vaccine. That's the one thing that we haven't factored into this whole thing, isn't so much can you have fans, but also will fans feel comfortable actually going to a live sporting event and being part of a big crowd?
Well, that doesn't surprise me right now, based on everything we know and the way we're all behaving. And, you know, we're all committed to this notion of effectively shutting down all aspects of society to flatten the curve, as they say. So, but I don't know how people are going to feel in a month and 2 months and 3 months.
Yeah.
We are not going to be in our homes forever. We simply cannot. And at some point, we're going to reengage in society. And as I say, I don't know if at that point, people talk about a vaccine. Well, there's a vaccine for influenza and has been forever.
Yeah.
And everybody gets influenza last time I checked, and a lot of people die from it. So I think we just have to see how the story ends here, this phase of the story, and then we're all going to have to see. I do believe that we as venue operators and team operators are going to have to modify how we behave and what we do, and where I'm part of a group with all the other venues and teams here in town where we're really focusing on that and the change in procedures and policies that's going to give everybody comfort. But I just don't know. It's too hard to know how this is going to change. I do know that what we're in right now is not permanently sustainable for anybody.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Tom, it's great talking to you, man. I hope you're safe and you're healthy, and I hope we're talking to you about just sports the next time we have you on.
Well, I'll talk to you guys anytime about anything. It's good to hear your voice, and keep it rolling.
All right, man. Cool,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Tom Penn. There's Tom Penn. He's one of the sharpest guys in sports right there.
Amen. And then half an hour from now at 4 o'clock, Rob Pelinka, the Laker GM, expected to join us.
Yeah, and then at 4:30, director Ron Shelton, who's directed films like Bull Durham and Tin Cup and White Man Can't Jump, so we'll talk to him about his legendary career directing some of the best sports movies of our lifetime. So all that's coming up for you. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN. On the station right now, meant to mention Chris Morales, who's doing a great job as well with all of our imaging stuff and promos and all the stuff that you hear on the show, doing a fantastic job. It's interesting to see what happens when you're put in some element of adversity and see people rise to the challenge, but that's what we're getting at the station right now, which is fantastic.
Amen.
So, John, I was going to ask you about that poll that I brought up with Tom that I just came across, and it's something I hadn't really thought of, that 72% of sports fans say they wouldn't feel comfortable returning to a stadium or an arena, until there is a vaccine for COVID-19. We talk about, how would it be playing games without fans? I think we also have to address, how would it be playing games in half-empty stadiums or arenas?
By the way, this is an excellent point that you brought up that I hadn't heard anyone else raise. You can make it possible for fans to come back, but if no one shows up, you didn't solve the problem. This is something yesterday we talked about movie theaters. Are people going to go back to the movies? Like, you and I probably will.
Yeah.
But are regular people who don't love movies going to be comfortable sitting next to people they don't know as close? You know, like, how many packed theaters have you and I been in our lifetime where there isn't an empty seat? I can't imagine we're going right back to that overnight. It's going to be a gradual process, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take some time, and especially if, and now all these experts, Tony Fauci and Sanjay Gupta, all the people that know, seem to be saying that they expect there to be another spike of this in October or November, and that's one of the things we haven't talked about either. The idea that we could restart sports and then have another spike of this and wind up having sports shut down again. I mean, I think it is going to be a very gradual process. When are people going to feel comfortable being in a crowd again? When are people going to feel comfortable sitting in a movie theater with other people, sitting shoulder to shoulder in a stadium, an arena, high-fiving? I mean, when are people going to start? I mean, at an arena, imagine a Lakers game, and after somebody scores, everybody high-fives. That's not going to happen anymore, you would think, or wouldn't happen for a long time. All this stuff is going to stick to some degree with us. Like, you get into the habit of when you're walking down the street and you see, when we're walking Fredo and Sophie, and you're walking down the street and you see somebody coming at you, you immediately, like, walk out to the street because you don't want to get too close to it. That becomes a habit. And when does that habit actually go away? When do we feel safe and secure again? It's going to take time. That's
public,
why I said
public transportation, like in New York. When do you get on the subway and sit next to somebody?
I mean, there are a bunch of major motion pictures, including Top Gun, that are going to be released at Christmas time. Are people going to be ready at Christmas time to go sit in a movie theater with a big crowd to watch Top Gun Maverick? I'm not sure. I just think there's, I mean, you know, a lot of this is there's no way to know. But I think it's something, and by the way, I wanted to mention Jay Ellis is going to be on the show tomorrow, who's part of HBO's Insecure, the Issa Rae show, and he's also in Top Gun Maverick, and the movie is complete and expected to come out for Christmas. But, I mean, when are gonna, people going to be at that point? And if you're an older person, if you're a 60-plus person, and if you go to a sporting event, a lot of the people you see are 60-plus because they've got
a lot
money.
Of the season ticket holders that have been there for, you know, years and years.
Yeah, because the older you have, if you're lucky and you're fortunate, the more money you have, and you're able to have more disposable income to go to games. If you're 60-plus, are you less likely to go to a game or to use your season tickets?
Yeah, all right, coming up next, our senior shout-out. We've been doing these all week. And then at the top of the hour, Rob Pelinka, the Laker general manager, is going to join us.
Yep, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And this portion of the show brought to you by Alignment Healthcare, changing healthcare one person at a time. All this week here, we are shouting out senior students and giving them a senior spotlight on the air. Today we have Anya Schamberger from Los Osos High School. And she is a senior on the Los Osos Grizzlies girls basketball team.
And we welcome Anya to the show. Anya, congratulations on making it through high school. How you holding up?
I'm holding up good.
So I got to tell you, Mace, I don't know if you've watched Anya's video. Somebody sent us a video of you, Anya, and you have a sweet jump shot. Who taught you how to shoot? Who taught you how to shoot?
It just came naturally, honestly. I've always been able to shoot.
Yeah, and how was your senior season for you?
It was nice. Sad that it came to an end early, but I'm happy I went out with a bang.
Anya, tell us about Los Osos and tell us about your team. Way and your teammates. What was your teammate or your team like this year?
We were young and fast, but we had a lot of heart on the team. You know, it was a difficult season, but we finished it out strong.
Now, have you decided what you're going to do after high school?
I'm gonna play ball in college. Just haven't made a decision yet.
By the way, what city is Los Osos in? Your high school?
It's in Rancho Cucamonga.
It's Rancho Cucamonga. So Mason and I went to Rancho Cucamonga for a minor league baseball game once. It's beautiful out there. Okay, so if you, like, what are you looking for at the next level? You just looking for a school that'll give you an opportunity to play? Is there something you want to study? Is there an area of interest that you're interested in, you know, career-wise? What are you looking for in a school?
In the school, I'm just looking for somewhere to go to, so it feels like home and, you know, have a bond with the team. In college, I'm looking forward to, majoring in like criminal justice or education so I can become a pro officer.
Good for you.
Good for you. That's great work. Well, listen, Anya, I know this is a weird time to be graduating high school. No senior prom and no commencement ceremony, but hopefully this is a little bit of something to recognize your achievements at Los Osos, and we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Anya. Good luck, and keep going with that jumper, man. I wish I had your jump shot.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
Anya Schamberger there from Los Osos High School. And
her form, it looks like Kobe's. I mean, she's got that like strong extension where you always finish with your hand in the bucket. You know what I'm talking about, Mason?
Yeah, I do. I looked at the video here.
Yeah, good for her.
By the way, she
finds a place to play.
You still have time to nominate a classmate or yourself or your kid or somebody you know. You can email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. That's ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com with your name, your school, the sport you play. You can post a short video on Instagram or Twitter. Include hashtag 710 senior shout out. Doing the best we can to maybe help some kids have a cool experience to wrap up their high school or college careers. That is, you know, you think about it, John. That was a pretty golden period of life, going to the senior prom with Emily Weber.
Oh, yeah, you think you know everything.
Getting drunk on schnapps after high school commencement
ceremony. That was us. That was Mason and I. We're not accusing any current seniors of getting drunk on schnapps.
No.
Those were the idiots in the 80s, me and Mason.
By the way, I think that's standard issue, right? I mean, everybody of a certain age got drunk on schnapps after the commencement ceremony.
Wait, what exactly is like schnapps? Just like the flavored types of alcohol?
Yeah.
No, schnapps comes in a bunch of different flavors.
That's what I mean. Yeah, because I mean, I was a bartender, but no one ever really like referred to it as schnapps other than like, you know, peach schnapps goes in a Long Island and so on and so forth.
Right. So peppermint schnapps is one of the flavors of schnapps.
It's always for whatever reason the first one you seem to get when you're in high school.
Now, we used to drink really bad stuff. We drank Boone's Farm. Did you ever drink Boone's Farm wine?
Only when we had little or no money.
And then when we were in college, we had Harry Buffalo's where you take grain alcohol and you pour it into a bathtub with a bunch of fruit.
Ew!
And then everybody dips out of that for the rest of the night. Did you ever have a Harry Buffalo, John?
I can't say that I have. I can't say I've ever drank out of the bathtub even.
Did you ever have, we had a bar that served upside down margaritas where they would pour the booze directly into your mouth like Tijuana.
Yeah, did those. Do you ever do them into a funnel, into the bottle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever do a beer bong?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
not very good at them. Hey, coming up top of the hour is Rob Pelinka, but there's a few ways you guys can get involved in the show, and we wanted to mention them.
Yeah.
We have a new voicemail line, all right? So if you don't have time to wait on hold, or if you just want to leave a voicemail, and it can be anything, you can leave a question, a song, a thought, whatever you want to do, 530-377-6710. Or if it's easier to remember, 530-ESPN-710. You can call the show at 877-710-ESPN. Our lines are always open. We'll take your phone calls. Or we've developed a new Twitter hashtag, Ask Mason and Ireland. All you got to do is if you want to tweet us a question, hashtag Ask Mason and Ireland, and we'll see it. So those are three ways you can get involved with the show.
Yeah. And by the way, Lindsay, how are we doing on voicemails? Do we have something maybe for 4:15?
Yeah. I'll have a couple of them ready for 4:15. We got some good ones yesterday.
All right. Coming up next for you, general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers, Rob Pelinka, will join us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.